Well, it is a joy to be here. It really is. And I love your pastor. What a blessing it is. We've known him for quite a while. We love his spirit. And we're just so thankful for a friendship that we have with him. And I enjoy the friendships we have with all of the Independent Baptist brethren all around the state. And what a blessing that is. I don't get to see him or speak to him that often, but we're glad to have your preachers here also. We appreciate that. And so I was thinking about that for a moment, Brother Travis. I was going to say that you and your wife, you are twice the family that we are. We have three kids and you have six, amen? But then I was thinking that the Chris Rogers, they're twice the family that you are. And so you have a singing group when your family sings. They have a choir when they sing, right? They just feel there's a lot of choirs that's probably not as big as that. And that's a real blessing. And so it's a blessing to know that the Lord knows our name. Yeah. It's a fearful thing to know that he knows a whole lot more about us than our name, amen? He knows the thoughts that we have and the words that we say and those things that we do in secret. And I sure am thankful that he loves me, amen? And that he's died for me and given to me his great grace. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be there in just a moment. It's exciting for me to be able to come to other churches and to try to be able to be a blessing in whatever way that we can. We came to New Mexico 37 years ago. So 37 and a half years ago, we came out here. What was funny was that when I came out here, Brother Chris, in that time, I was the youngest preacher that I knew, Independent Baptist preacher, anywhere in the state. And so now I'm one of the older ones in that time. And so, Brother Travis, your wife said, how do you stay married for 42 years? And I told her it takes a patient wife. But it also takes old age, amen? And so you got to be around for a long time in order to be married 42 years. You got to be around for a long time in order to pastor for 37 years in the same place. And so you know you're pretty old if you've been anywhere for 37 years or done anything for that period of time. And so we came here, we started in a storefront, purchased some land, and went forward from there. And God has been so very, very good to us over that time. We're excited about that and excited about the ministry and what the Lord has done. We're trying to build a building which will double the square footage of all of what we have, 22,000 square foot building. It's been crazy to be able to get it through the city. And so, Brother Rogers, I went today with the architect over the city because the land that we purchased now goes over to a side road, but that side road runs back into some land that SCAFCA, that Sandoval County Flood Authority, purchased. And so they were going to make us pave that road all the way back to the SCAFCA property. They're going to make us put a sidewalk in. And so I called it the sidewalk to nowhere because there's nobody past us or anything. They were going to make us fully develop the court. It's called ASP Court, of all things, directly behind us. And so we went there to the city, and they're good to us. And they said, you don't have to do all that part of it. You don't have to put the sidewalk in, pave the street, develop the street in back of you. So it saved about $75,000. So it's a good day whenever you make a trip to the city and save $75,000. So I was rejoicing in that, amen? And I was excited about that. And but it's exciting to see all of what the Lord does. And I just want to say to you as Faithway Baptist Church that it is a joy to get to serve Jesus. And we need to not be weary in well-doing. We need to not be weary in the process of it because it's a privilege to be a Christian, a child of God, saved and on your way to heaven. What a joy and a privilege that is. But it's also an amazing privilege to get to serve God together with a church family, with a spiritual family. And I preached that and challenged our people about that on Sunday, yesterday morning. And I just said that we need to have Christian friendships within our church. Our best friends, those that we are the closest to, need to be within our own local church, and that we need to just really grow up serving God together and just to have a really strong camaraderie together with God's people in his local church. It's such a blessing to be able to have that. Let's look, if we would, in Hebrews in chapter number 11. And by the way, what helps too, let me just insert this, is if, you know, we're saved, we're going to live the Christian life, we're going to be in church, and we're going to enjoy that together. And so we might as well just have a whole lot of fun all along the way. Amen. And so we ought to smile and laugh and rejoice together and praise God. We should do all of those things because we just want to enjoy the journey as we go forward in this time that the Lord has given to us. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. And then in verse number 23, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and lead us as we will go forward through this meeting, through these days, in the first part of this week. Lord, I pray you bless every part of it. Bless, I pray, this dear pastor, his family. Bless the people, I pray, here at Faithway Baptist Church to have your hand on them just in a special way. As we look forward now to this year ahead, Lord, may you add your rich blessing onto us in every way. And we'll thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you now, and it's so good. We're challenged by this as we look to the Word of God. You understand this, and of course, you're so familiar with this, I suppose, especially as Faithway Baptist Church, but this is the chapter of faith. Often it will be called the Hall of Faith. That is, for those who live for God and live by faith, that God picked and selected some of those out, and that he inserted them, those that were obvious to insert as Abraham and as Moses, as you would imagine, maybe those not so obvious as Rahab the harlot and others as it closes out at the end of Jephthah and others like that, that it simply lists or numerates for us. But the commonality of this was faith, and that was that they lived by faith. This is a question that some debate, and that is, how is it that people were saved in all of the different dispensations from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden, and then all the way forward until the millennial kingdom come. And you could say a number of things about that, but what I do want to point out or to connect together is commonality amongst all of the different ages, dispensations that God has given to us from the beginning of time, from the age of innocence, and then going all the way forward throughout the patriarchs and throughout the time of the law itself and the church age and that which is to come. The commonality about all of those, of course, is faith. Faith is what unites the people of God from every generation all the way forward. Ultimately, what God asks for us is a life of faith and a journey of faith. It is faith because we don't know it, but God does know it. We don't know tomorrow, God does know tomorrow. We don't understand all of what God has for us in our life, but God understands every bit of that. And so it's just a journey of faith. We just trust God. We just say, God, I don't understand, but I'm just trusting you as we go forward. Whatever then pathway that God had under the law, with the age, as we said, of the patriarchs and that, whatever pathway it is that God had, what the people were supposed to do in their day was just supposed to believe God and to believe the promise of God and to simply do God's work, God's way, and that's what it is that God has for us to do today. Now, we understand then that God's work in this age in which we live in, his work of the Great Commission and his spiritual work is done through his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Our theme all the way through last year in 2025 was, I will build. The idea of that was supposed to be that we would actually, as a part of that overall, break ground and start building on our building. Brother Travis, our plans, now since you're a builder, you could sympathize with us about this. Our plans have been in the city now for 7 months and they're still not complete. So I don't know what that is. I have to believe at this point that God certainly has some part in that, right? And that he is testing our faith and growing our faith through that time, because it would be no reason really for it to be 7 months in those plans finishing. But nonetheless, that's where we are. And so I will build. We've come through 2025. I'm kind of too timid to do the theme, I Will Build Part 2 for 2026, because I'm not sure that our people are feeling super encouraged about that right now. So I think we want to break ground and start to see something raise up and then really give some emphasis to that as we go forward. We'll have our Vision Sunday on this coming Sunday, and we're excited about that and looking forward to what God has for us. I would announce to you what that is, but I haven't announced it to our church family yet either. When we come here to this in Hebrews chapter 11 and we look at the life of Moses, we call this, and we talk about Moses and then choices by faith, and choices for all of us. When we talk about being fixed in 26, and as I said, we did that all the way back in 96, but I think that it's so important. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed on trusting in God. My heart is fixed in this position, in this pathway that we're going forward. In these last days that we're in, I'm setting down deep roots in Jesus Christ and in the Christian life, and I'm not looking to be moved or swayed from this faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have pastored for any time at all, this is no surprise to you that there are, in these days that we live in, some really discouraging things that we are facing. And one of those discouragements is a generation, and really even a couple of generations of young people that have grown up in Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches, soul-winning, separated from the world, and that young people now, as they're coming to adulthood, are moving on that, and they're moving off the fundamentals of the faith and holiness, personal holiness that God teaches us from his word, and they're moving on that, and they're saying, well, I just don't believe that way anymore. The only problem with that is, and one day when we stand before Jesus, is that we don't really get to pick and choose what it is that we believe or not believe. We just got to stay by the book, and we just got to keep on living for Jesus as we go forward in every generation. And so we want to be planted and fixed in that. Now, let me just say this, in opening for these nights here, these three nights, and I hope that you'll come for each of these nights. But I want to say then that if we are going to be fixed in 26, and if we're going to go forward and be faithful throughout this year, but not only faithful, actually growing as God has for us in doing the work of God. I know your pastor, his heart, we've talked together, we prayed together about this thing of the Lord's church and about having an impact on the community where God has placed us. And I want to say that that's your desire as a church, to have an impact on this community where you're at. And to do that, we're going to need to do as all of those that came before us have done, and that is to live for God and to stand for God by faith, trusting God and allow God to do a work through us that only he can do. Now, I want to start out on this, and I want to say that there's a heritage of faith. We love this as it starts out in verse number 23, and it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw, it says, that he was a proper child. And so there was a heritage of faith. That is that Moses then was believed by his parents to be something very special and very precious. Now, you know this, and for all of those in here that have had children, as my wife and I have three that are grown, and now we have 11 grandchildren. And if you don't know that, I just want to say that's exciting. Amen. That is makes it all worth it. All the heartaches you got to go through in raising your kids, when you have grandkids, that's worth it. Brother Rogers, I can't even imagine how many birthday presents, Christmas presents that you're going to have to encounter years down the road with all the grandkids that you'll have. But I want to say that for every Christian parent, what we should do, of course, is to say, this child that God has given me is a gift from God. It's a blessing. Now, in this age that we live in, not everyone recognizes the blessings of children. It's kind of an interesting kind of a study I've done, or it just intrigues me, I guess. I don't know why. It's such an odd thing, but it intrigues me about declining populations of different nations around the world. And for developed nations, for us and for Europe and other nations too, they're actually facing a really significant decline in population. Now, you could say a lot about that, but let me just say that as we become less Christian, for us in Europe, let's say, as we become less Christian, then children become less of a blessing and more of a burden. And so people have less children, because why would I want to have children and fork out some of my money for them when I can just keep it and have more of the money for myself? But we love it with Moses' parents because they recognized the gift of God and the blessing of God. Moses is said here in verse number 23 that they saw that he was a proper child, that he was very special about him, that he was blessed, that he was, it says in Exodus chapter 2, that he was a goodly child. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, it says that he was an exceedingly fair child. And so all of these descriptions about Moses was certainly the fact that God had a special work for Moses to do. But I want to say it also spoke to the fact that Moses' parents, as people of faith, understood the rich blessing it is to have children. And one of the wonderful things about having children, and one of the burdens about having children, is that they may be grown up and married and having their own children, but you never stop being their parent. You never stop worrying about them. You never stop praying for them. It never gets easier. The burdens never get lighter. Their problems get bigger, and so your burdens get heavier. And it's just all part of the blessing of being a parent. Now, I want to thank God for Moses because he had parents who loved God and loved him. And from that, and because of that, he actually had then a godly heritage in his life. We praise the Lord for that. In Psalm 16, in verse number 6, it says, the lines are fallen unto me in the pleasant places. And then it says, yea, I have a goodly heritage. The psalmist understood that it was a blessing in life to be able to have a godly heritage, to have parents who loved God and lived for God. Paul said to Timothy, I rejoice for you and for your faith. But your faith, he says, started with your mother and then started with your grandmother. And he identifies them and he talks about the blessing that Timothy had because he grew up in a strong Christian home. I was just reading, talking about catching up on your Bible reading. I am a master procrastinator. If anybody wants to know in 2026 how to be a better procrastinator, just talk to me for 5 or 10 minutes and I'll explain it all to you. Amen? It's really an art form to put things off until you come to a hair on fire moment. And then I get motivated to start to do something. So I'm finishing up my Bible reading for the year, right? And so during Christmas break, it was a little bit lighter schedule. And so I'm reading, you know, hours a day for some days in order to catch up. And so I'm almost there, and we have our New Year's Eve service, and we ate and had preaching and had desserts afterwards. And then I go home, and my wife goes to bed soon after that, and I say, okay, good. Now I got time to finish my committed Bible reading for 2025. And so at 11:42, I finished it. And I finished my Bible reading for 2025. Now I started 2026, and I find myself behind a little bit already. How do you end up behind? It takes a lot of negligence along the way in order for that to happen. But that's me, and that's what it takes. But I want to say that I was reading in Genesis, and so we come then to the birth now of Jacob and of Esau. And Esau then despising his birthright. And so because of that, he was rejected. Jacob of I love, but Esau of I hated. Now, Esau didn't care about his birthright, that first position, but he definitely wanted the blessing that came from being the firstborn. And when he was cheated of the blessing, he cried and he screamed and he begged his daddy. And he said to his daddy, "Don't you have any other blessing for me?" And he gave him blessings of the fruit of the ground. But here's what Esau realized too late. And that is that there's amazing blessings that come on a young person when they have the privilege of growing up in a good Christian home and in a good church. Now, if you've raised your kids, you know that they don't always appreciate that in the moment as they become a teenager or something like that. But I want to say that God will richly bless your children because of your faith. One of the many reasons why you should finish up living for Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith." One of the reasons why you should finish up living faithfully for Jesus is because of your children and because of your grandchildren, and maybe by the blessing of God, because of your great-grandchildren. I got saved because of my two faithful Christian grandmothers. I got called to preach, I believe very much, because of the prayers of my faithful Christian grandmothers. And I want to say in this church that we understand the blessing of children and we understand the importance of living for Jesus, because our faith in God will help to bring more blessings in their life as they go forward. Now I want to say that there are choices that Moses made. And let's look at that if we would. These are really some amazing choices. As we go forward in the Christian life, it's going to be amazing blessings. And we're going to see answers to prayer, and we're going to see God do great things, and we're going to see God provide finances for us, and we're going to see for God to open doors for us, and we're going to see God to do some amazing things for us. But there's also going to be some difficulties along the way, and it's not possible for us to live the Christian life and finish it up and not have been faced with some hard decisions along the way. And Moses was faced with some really hard decisions. Moses, as you know, was taken by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in the palace because he was adopted into the family, and it was believed then that Moses was now the firstborn in Pharaoh's line and was then next to be the Pharaoh and was being groomed towards that, and that Moses was very likely going to be the Pharaoh or the leader of the world power at that time, the most powerful nation, and then by default, the most powerful man on planet Earth. That was the pathway that Moses was going to. But he understood as a Christian, God comes first above everything else. God is the most important. And so I'm going to have to make some decisions along the way. And those decisions that I make are not going to be easy decisions, but they're going to be right decisions. Young people, sometimes your parents have made decisions for you that was not an easy decision to do, that whatever that decision might be. I remember when we were raising our kids, we just said our kids aren't going to have a phone, okay? Now, that was not a huge decision in our day when a phone was like a brick phone. How many of you know what those brick phones were, right? Had the stiff antenna on it, the brick phone. But in our day, the phones wouldn't go to social media. There wasn't really social media. There wasn't anything. All they could do was call or text their friends, which is all they could do in that day. Now, a phone today, a smartphone today, is access to the filth of the world in your child's hands. So now our kids are wrestling with their kids to not have a cell phone. And I realize it's a whole lot different for them than it was for us. It wasn't a big deal for us. I mean, we just did it. And our kids didn't understand at the time. And our grandkids positively do not understand why they can't have a phone when everybody else does, when they know that every time they get a phone in their hand, they do something stupid, right? They just don't happen to call it stupid, right? Because it was them. But their parents are making hard choices. Amen? They're making hard choices. But it's all part of the Christian life. It's exciting. And so we see then some of the hard choices. In verse number 24, it says, "By faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." And so he had to make some choice. And he said, "There's some things that I accept and embrace, And based on those things that I embrace, there are some things then automatically by default that I have to reject. So I choose then and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as my Savior, but as the Lord of my life. And I embrace that. And I'm thankful to be a Christian and I'm proud to be a Christian. But in order to do that, you have to reject then, of course, the devil, but also the ways of the world. You have to reject those at the same time. And so Moses said, I choose God. But in choosing God, he had to at the same time say that I reject Pharaoh, I reject the throne, I reject this adoptive mother in my life, Pharaoh's daughter, I reject those in my life. Now that was, as I said already, not a simple thing to do, but it was a right thing to do. And as you go forward now in this year as Faithway Baptist Church, and as you go forward in your Christian life in this year, there are some things that you're going to have to face. Now, I find this, and again, this is maybe, again, my personality in that, but whenever you're faced in those things and had to do an incredibly, extremely hard thing just a short while ago, what happens is you look at it, you weigh it out, you look to the Bible, you look at the situation, you determine what's right, you determine what's wrong, you swallow hard, you stop thinking about what the consequences will be for making this hard choice, and you just do the right thing. Don't worry about it. Don't try to weigh it all out. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. And I want to say that for us as Christians, we make those choices. Let me just be real personal for a moment. For some of us, those hard choices is going to be to tithe and to give to missions, just to honor God with the first fruits of all of your increase, to honor God with the first tenth of what God has provided for you. You're going to need to make a decision to say, I'm going to tithe and to honor God in that way. You say that's so hard, it's so difficult. But at the same time, you look forward and you realize God is able to bless me if I obey Him. That God is able to do more with 90% with His blessing on it than I'm able to do with 100% with the curse of God on my finances. And so I just have to believe God. Now, it's a hard choice to make, but I have to believe God. In order for church to really go forward, it needs to have people that are growing in faith, church members that are growing in faith, trusting God in the area of giving and other things like that also. Then there was a decision that he made that really goes even further. It's worse or harder than that. Choosing rather than to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses goes out. And he's overseeing then all of the people of God. He's looking at the Israelites. And his heart is yearning for that, knowing that these are my people, but they're in hard bondage and captivity in that. And he sees an Egyptian soldier, taskmaster, who is beating one of the Israelites. And Moses' heart is more with God's people, praise the Lord, than it was with the world's people. And so Moses goes over, beats this guy up, kills him, drops him in the sand and buries him up and goes. Now, that was a really big decision. The next day, one of the Israelites themselves say to Moses, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Moses knew that it was found out. And he took off and started booking it and started running out of there. And the rest of Moses' life had trials and hardships and difficulties unique and different than anything that he had faced at that point in his life. He'd had it cushy before. All of his meals were prepared. Everything was served to him on a platter. He had it cushy before. But he stepped away from that and he said, I'm not going to do that. Borden Milk Company, and the story was told of in the Borden Milk Company that Dad Borden was preparing his son. And his son was educated and graduated with an accounting degree and with a business management degree in that. And he was grooming him towards taking that company. But the problem, as far as Dad was concerned in this, was that his son had got saved and really started to grow in the Lord. And God had called him to go to the mission field. And he knew that that was going to be significant. He knew he was going to walk away from all of these rich blessings that he could have in life. But he chose to obey God rather than to enjoy all the pleasures that this world could bring to him. And so he tells his dad, and his dad rejected it and thought, my son's going to change his mind, but he never did change his mind. And he walked away from the ownership of that company to go to the mission field and suffered and died a very early death. And you say, that doesn't even make sense. And why does he even do that? But that was what God led him to do. And he made some choices that were hard choices to do. And this is what comes to us sometimes in the Christian life. And we understand that by faith. Then he says, also then esteeming. The word esteeming there is an accounting word. It means to have two columns, if you would, your deposits and your withdrawals, and to balance that out and then to make a decision to say, is this decision worth it or not? So he is esteeming then the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Now, if Moses were to say or consider that living for God is more profitable than all of what I would gain in Egypt, in order for Moses to do that, he would be required to look beyond this life and into eternity. Because what Pharaoh could offer him and what the palace could offer him, what Egypt could offer him, was in no way compared to the eternal blessings that he would have as he stood before God throughout all of eternity and loved God and served God and lived for God and all the blessings that heaven held for him. And so he chose then to say, I'm going to walk away from all of these riches because nobody can take better care of me than God can. Amen? You just have to understand that. That it pays to serve God. It pays to live for Jesus. Young people, listen. Listen, live for Jesus. We're worried, and it's like, well, I think I could have a better life if I just lived it my way. But I want to say that there is nothing better that would come in life than for us to choose to honor God and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as we go forward. You love this. It says then that the recompense of reward, it says that he forsook Egypt and he endured through all of the hardships that he did. It says, as seeing him who is invisible. Now listen, Moses then did some great things, really some impossible things. It's just, it's amazing. It's insane what God did. God then took a nation that had no military and no power, no forces and no resources, and they were in bondage. And he took then this nation of Israel when they were held in Egypt. And God brought one miracle, one judgment upon another judgment upon another judgment, and 10 judgments that he brought upon the nation of Egypt. And from that, they thrust them out. And then they go out and they come down to the edge of the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh and his army comes after them. They're pinned in at the edge of the Red Sea. And they're like, we're going to die. We're going to die. And Moses just tells them, look, trust God. Raises his staff. The waters part. They go across on dry land. God closes it up. Drowns all the Egyptians. God gives them water out of a rock. And let me tell you the craziest thing, according to Corinthians, about that is the rock that gave them a literal river of water followed them everywhere as they went. That's like spooky, amen? Mama, look, that rock is moving. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Watch. Step forward and look back. Now the rock is moving. The rock is following us. And that rock would gush out rivers of water that gave water to 1 million people. I mean, bread came down from heaven, right? As the dew rose in the morning, the quails come off the sea and fly across them low enough for them to grab them, wring them neck, throw them in a pot and say, cook it up, mama. I mean, this is amazing, the miracles they saw. But listen, the key that unlocked all those miracles in their life was faith in God. Faith in God. Heard this story that Curtis Hudson told. My wife had the privilege of growing up in Forest Hills Baptist Church in the Christian school during the latter years, in the ending years that Curtis Hudson was pastoring there at Forest Hills, one of the fastest growing churches in the nation at one point. They would have buses that would go out running bus ministry on Sunday, but they would use those buses for teen soul winning as well as, of course, all the adults that would come in. And they would have 3 different buses that would roll out every Thursday night on teen soul winning, just with teenagers going to apartment complexes and public places like that. And they had on there, they had fire and flames on there, and it would say Forest Hills is on fire. And God was doing some great things. Curtis Hudson told this story, and he said of a man that got to heaven, and Jesus was walking him through and showing him all the beauty and the glory of heaven and showing him all these different things. And as they walked down, as he tells the story, there was a door there, and Jesus kind of walked past it and continues to show this man. And he's like, "What's in that room?" Jesus said, "You don't want to know." He said, "I do. I want to know." He said, "Well, you probably don't want to know." "No, I do. What's in that room? Show me what's in that room." And he said, "Why would I not want to see what's in there?" And Jesus walks over and holds the handle, and he said, "Inside this room is all of the rich blessings that you could have had if you would have just asked me by faith, but you have not because you ask not." And he opens the door. The man sits there brokenhearted. "I wanted that in my life so much, but I never really asked God by faith for that." And I want to say that all of the miracles that came on the nation of Israel and through Moses came because they just believed God. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know God said he was going to do it. I'm on the backside of the mountain and I'm tending my father-in-law's sheep. I went from the palace for 40 years and now I'm on the backside of the desert tending stinking sheep for 40 years. God was preparing him to be able to lead people through the wilderness then for 40 years. And Moses said, I've got this and I'm doing this. But God said, "I want to take you before Pharaoh, and your message from God is going to be, let my people go." And Moses is like, "I have no clue in the world how this is going to work. All I know is God said it was going to work." Right. That's all I know. That's all I know. We were traveling, my wife, my, I love her so much, she's so sweet. So my mother had told my wife that she could have this beautiful piano. My mother refinished it, a lot of work, a lot of hard work. Large upright piano, basically a grand piano that stands upright. It's huge, it's heavy, it's crazy. And my mother, every time we were there, she'd say, "You're going to have this piano now. When I die, you're going to have this piano. You're going to have this piano." So she got Alzheimer's and they put her in the home. She's 90. She's still with us. And so we went up there to see her. She was in the home. They're selling the house. My sister and her husband, they're selling the house. So we have to clear out everything we want. So my sweetie says, "I want that piano. So let's fly one way to your mother's house and then we'll rent a U-Haul and we'll bring it back again." So that's crazy. And the only problem with that is that I grew up on the Canadian border in northern Maine. 2,608 miles to be exact, from my mother's house to our house. But we loaded up that piano and we drove. So we had stopped for church in places along the way, and so we'd stopped for church in a new church plant in Syracuse, New York. Because of the time difference, we jumped in and we continued to drive. I brought my phone up and I'm watching my phone while I'm driving, don't tell the police. And our service is going on in Rio Rancho, and my son Mark is preaching. And my son Mark, as he's talking, he tells this story. And I don't remember this, but he remembers this. And he said 2 different times, and this moved on his heart, it was impressive on his heart because he's thinking, I would have a hard time functioning in this way. But he said 2 different times I was soul winning with my dad, and we were there and we were visiting with somebody. And somebody was asking about starting the church, and I had a computer programming job and made good money at that time back in 1988, just starting to come up through 7 years in it, making $40,000. But $40,000 was a little bit of something back then, and just a pathway forward in leadership and everything like that. But God called us, and so we stepped away from all of that. And we came out to Rio Rancho, and we started the church, really with not really very much of any supporter at all or anything like that. And so Mark said, "I was with them 2 different times, and somebody asked him, when you quit the job and when you moved your whole family to New Mexico to start a church, what if it didn't work?" And he said, "I remember just like it was yesterday, 2 different times. Both times my dad said, I never considered that. I never considered it." Now, for him, that floored him. But for me, it was just part of what I said a moment ago. You kind of settled, this is what God wants you to do. Then stop overthinking it. You just got to trust God. You got to believe God. You got to go forward and live for God and serve God. And so Moses did some hard things, but because he, by faith, did some hard things, he also saw some amazing things that God did. I mean, it's incredible what it is that God did. It said that esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. This passage now that is being spoke of, or when this is recorded, it was some 1,500 years. Moses, when he made that decision to say that I'm going to follow Christ, I'm looking for the Messiah, I'm looking for the Messiah to come, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, it was some almost 1,500 years until Jesus came, was born into this world, and then went to the cross and bore the sins of the world on him and died and rose again on the third day. It was 1,500 years later. But Moses, by faith, said, God's promised the Messiah. God's given to me these promises, and I just believe God. And so I want to ask you, just as we tie or bring this together, what are some things that you are having a hard time in believing God? Or what are some things that you know that you need to believe God in, but it's just hard to do? Now, let me speak to you first, if we would, about this matter of a church. Okay? When you look at this matter of a church, we live in a day and an age in which we are now beyond this kind of revival that we had. We're kind of beyond this time of Bible believing, you know, independent Baptist churches growing and being the largest churches in 38 of the 50 states all around the United States. We're past that. We're decades past that now. And it's not in vogue. It's not popular necessarily to say, hey, I want a church and I'm going to go to an independent Baptist church where they preach strong with strong convictions and preach the Bible and believe in personal sowing and all those things. And it's not attractive in the sense that it was back a number of years ago. And if we were back two, three decades ago, it wasn't necessarily super attractive in New Mexico like it was in Bible Belt and other places like that. Okay? So you would say, well, it just can't be done. It can't be done today like it was years ago. But I want to say, when you look at this, just in a practical way, it can't be done in any age. It's a spiritual work. It's not some beneficial work, like I'm going to work this job and they're going to give me a paycheck and this is going to be wonderful. I'm going to go to the mall. I'm going to buy this that I've always wanted at the mall. I'm going to take this home again. But church is a spiritual thing. The blessings that we get are in our heart, and God blesses us and gives us peace, and God helps and leads us along. But listen, it's a supernatural thing in order to build a church. And so we have to ask ourselves this question. The God who did it decades ago, can that God still do it today? And we have to ask ourselves that question. It's an important question. You say, well, it's different today, and it's the age of the mega church, and it's the age of the non-denominational church and everything. I was coming here, and I think there's a new legacy church. Is that right? Is that the part of the legacy church in Albuquerque that you go past there? You say, well, it's just those churches, just the mega churches. And yet I want to say that all over this community, there are people without Jesus Christ who need the gospel and want to know how to be saved and go to heaven. Now, again, it's a work of faith. You got to believe God. You got to trust God. You got to pray for that. You got to pray for souls to be saved. You got to pray for people to come to church. You got to pray for God to bring people across your path. You got to pray and trust God to do great and mighty things. Now, we can get discouraged about that. We can not see it happen. We can not believe that it can happen today. There's lots of reasons to doubt because it's a hard thing. But then we pick up the Bible and we read the Bible and we find out that God did some hard things and that there were people who trusted God even when it seemed impossible, and God did the impossible through his people. And so is it hard to build a strong Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church today? Yes, it is. But it wasn't necessarily easy in past generations either. But it took faith in God to believe God and to trust God. Now listen, there's something special about this, and I want to say this. For our church, and it's not huge, okay? There was a pastor that I love that said this statement. And he said, you're never going to take everybody. You're never going to take everyone in your church to the next level. The idea about that is this. Is that there's most of God's people like a smaller church because they like the family feel of a smaller church. And I don't argue with that at all. If I had my druthers and I were pastoring, there's kind of a target size of a church, which is under 100, that I would just feel so comfortable about enough people there to have great fellowship, but not enough people there to become a lot of work, you know? And so if I had my druthers with that thing, I think that's what I would like. The only problem is that people are dying and going to hell. And a lot of people are not saved. And they need to hear the gospel and they need to know about Jesus. You say, well, it can't be done. Listen, it's hard. But we have a miracle working God. A big God. And I want to say that for any church, one of the steps that you should do, and when it's like, you know, I'm not sure this, maybe this is not really rolling. There's not very much momentum here. This thing's not really rolling forward. One of the things that you could do is become very intentional and direct about praying for souls to be saved, praying for people to be reached, praying for God to bring people in, and be very intentional about that. And you say, well, I just love our family and I love the family feel of the church. Listen, that is great and that's fantastic. But I want to say that there's a need beyond that for us also. And this community needs a vibrant, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that genuinely cares about the souls of men. Years ago, God just gripped my heart in Psalm chapter 8. The psalmist makes this statement and he says, no man cared for my soul. And I said, by the grace of God, might that not be said about me and about our church? See, a doctor cares for your physical body. A teacher, an educator cares about your mind, right? A trainer or a coach cares about your health and your conditioning. But a pastor in a church cares about the eternal souls of men and women, boys and girls, all around this area. That's what we care about. That's what matters, is the eternal souls of people that are going to live forever. They're going to live for eternity somewheres. Throughout all of eternity. Listen, what can I believe God for? What can I have faith in God for? What can we as a church trust God for? And that is for God to do a work of the Great Commission in our midst here. For people to come, for people to hear the gospel, for people to be saved, for people then to get into church, start to grow in the Lord, and start to really learn and get excited about Jesus and the Christian life. And that is needful for every church. As a pastor and as your pastor over the years, one of the tasks that I have to do that I don't like is going to the hospital to visit people that are sick and hurting and dying. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do, and I hate to do that. And for the most part, it's sad and it's depressing when you go to the hospital to visit sick people. But there is one department, one ward within the hospital, for the most part, is a very exciting place to go. And that is where all the new babies are born, right? And new life brings excitement to a hospital, to a home. New life brings excitement to a church where people have got saved, where they put their faith in Jesus Christ and believed on Jesus to get saved. Listen, that new life is wonderful and glorious. Listen, what can I apply faith with in my life? And I want to say that one of the things is just miracles in our life. What is it that you need? What is it that you're yearning for? What is it that you're hurting for? Is it a financial need? Is it a broken relationship? What is that need that you have? And here's what I want to encourage you. As we read this, as we look at the life of Moses, here's what we can understand. God is a miracle-working God. God cares about his people. God wants to do great things for his people. What is it that you need for God to do in your life? What I want to do is be an encouragement to you to say, trust God for that. Believe God for that. Pray for God to do that. Pray big and trust God to do something big in your life. Pray for a miracle. Pray to a miracle working God for that God to do what he specializes in, and that is doing beyond what men can normally do. That God can do in us what we can never do for ourselves. We serve a miracle-working God. He's a big God, amen? And it just amazed me all the time what he can do. The God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who knows me and loves me, amen? He's the one who saved me and brought me salvation, the one who forgave me for my sins, and the one who says to me that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That God is the God who brought down bread from heaven, who caused water to come out of a rock, who stood up with great miracles and great judgments against Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt and defeated them and delivered his people against all odds. He delivered his people. And that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? And what he's done for others, as the children's song says, he'll do for you also. Amen? They're written for our admonition. All these miracles that we see is written so that we can look at them and see and say, God, I need for that to happen in my life also. Listen, a church can be built. People can come and people can be saved and a church can go forward. We've got to pray. We've got to trust God for it. Believe that God can do it. Now, we can do beyond that and more than that, but I would just always challenge a church. Just really become serious about praying for God to do that work of the Great Commission that he tells us about. God, you do that. God, you bring people in our path. God, you help us and lead us to do this. Help us, I pray, to invite people everywhere as we go. Help us now to be faithful in that as we go forward. I want to say also that God is a miracle-working God, and by faith we trust God to do that work that only he can do. And then I want to say this, and I want to connect it to where we started with, and that is, what do we do by faith also? Is that we trust God to help our families to be all of what they could be. Now, I said this to us already, but I want to close with this thought, and that is that as a Christian parent, you never stop praying for your children. You never stop. You never stop praying for them. All the time, you're just working with that in labor, and you're praying, and be not weary in well-doing, in due season you shall reap if you faint not, and you just keep doing that, and you're praying for God to do a great work in their life. I've been pastor now all these many years, and from time to time when I'm preaching on this topic, I'll say to our people, I say, if you don't like my preaching, or if you don't like me as a preacher, then blame my grandmother, because she's the one who prayed for me to surrender to preach and to be a preacher. And I thank God for that, amen? But she kept praying for me. She prayed for me all the way up until she just passed from this earth. And she prayed for me. I called and I talked to her one day. And my dad said, she's getting close. She's losing her mind some and she's getting close to passing. And so I called her and I was talking to her. And she told me, she said, Brent, I've prayed for you in all these years. And I said, I know that. I know you have. And she said, I'm proud of you for pastoring and what you're doing. And I'm proud of you. And then she goes on and she starts to talk. And she says, you know, my husband, my grandfather passed. And all these other family members, her sister just passed that she was so close to. And she said to me, she said, I got more people on the other side than I do on this side. And then she said to me, she said, Brent, promise me this, that you will not pray for God to keep me here much longer. And I told her, I said, I'll not pray for God to extend your life, but grandmother, I'll not pray for him to shorten your life either. And she said and agreed that that was okay. And she had said to me, I prayed for you all the way through my life. Will you pray for me as God takes me out of this life? And I said, I absolutely will. What a testimony. She prayed for me all the way until the end. Amen? She never stopped. She just kept praying for me all the way. And we can't stop either. We live in a day and an age which there's a lot of temptations on our children, our grandchildren. I said that before, when somebody has a smartphone, they had direct access to all the filth of this world. And once that gets in your mind, especially as a young age, that's harder to be able for it not to affect you in a very significant way. But there's other generations that have lived in very wicked days. Amen? Lot chose to raise his family in Sodom and Gomorrah, not a good choice, and it didn't go well for him, but there are a lot of temptations in that day, and there is in this day also. I want us to pray, if we would, all over. Now, I want to challenge us now as Faithway Baptist Church to understand that there's a big God who wants to do big things. And we see the evidences that he has done big things, big things. And he wants to do those things in our life also. But he says, trust me, believe me, call on me, ask me, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We serve such a big God. He still wants souls to be saved. He still wants people to come into church and to grow in the Lord and grow up in church. He still wants that. He still wants to help our families as we go forward. Do you need a miracle? Do you need something big? God's able to do that. The Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us in this time. Just speak to our hearts now. And Lord, as we've heard your word, looked into your word, I pray that you would just really challenge us to apply some of these truths that we see into our life and help us to be a people of greater faith, believing you and trusting you, not knowing at all how it'll work out in many times, in many instances, but just believing you for it. And so God, help now, we pray. Bless this pastor, bless this church, and we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.